Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
Well, as we're making our way back to our seats, man, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. As you can see from some of the matching t-shirts, we had D-Now this weekend. D-Now is such a special time. And it could not be possible without a lot of people. And just a moment ago, everybody stand and was recognized for being a part of it. But for me, man, I just want to say thank you. Man, students, thank y'all for being a part of this. Parents, thank y'all for allowing your kids to be a part of something like this. For the host homes, thank y'all for opening your houses. Man, I know there was a lot of things that happened at host homes, from almost breaking stuff to glitter going everywhere to accidentally being punched in the face while they were batting to hit a Wii remote on Wii Sports. There's a lot of things that happen at host homes. So thank y'all for opening your house. And next year, if I call you again, please say yes. But hey, I just want to say thank you. Man, seriously, thank y'all for being a church that loves your kids. Thank you for being a church that supports our ministry. Well, this could not be possible without y'all. So if you don't hear anything else today, please hear me say thank you. For our students this week, man, we partnered with First Baptist and we brought in what's known as the Engaging Truth Conference. And the Engaging Truth Conference is out of Journey Church in Lebanon, Tennessee. And so they brought their staff down here to just pour into us. And let me just tell you, it was amazing. It was so just gospel. Here it is, black and white. Here's the gospel. Here's what it says. And for me, I know it was phenomenal. And I pray that for our students, it was phenomenal as well. As we dive in this morning, we're going to be looking at deny yourself. That's what the conference focused on. And in the conference, we had three main sessions, but we also had three breakout groups. Today, just because of the sake of time and the sake of everything that was given to us, I'm only going to focus on the three main sessions. Over the course of the weekend, again, we attended the three sessions, three breakouts. And let me just tell you, it was like drinking out of a fire hydrant. It was phenomenal just hearing the knowledge and the wisdom that was poured out, and I'm still processing. So just know that this message is still in the works. So I might change some things as we go, but just bear with me this morning. Today, we're going to be looking at Matthew 16. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. But before we get started, I'd like to just pray for us. So if we will bow your heads. God, we love you. God, we thank you. Thank you for just this time, this opportunity. God, I pray that you will just take me out of the way and allow me to be a vessel for you this morning. So in your name we pray. Amen. So looking at Matthew 16, we're going to look at the main passages for the weekend. Now, let me say this. I've told other people this could be a 15-minute sermon or a 45-minute sermon, but I guarantee you one thing, it's going to be quick because I need a nap. So we're going to look at the main scriptures real quick, and then we're going to dive in. It says this, Matthew 16:24 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple, they must do this. They must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? What can anyone give in exchange for their soul?'" So the first thing we'll look at this morning is dying to your need to be approved by others. Nick Judd was the pastor during this session. And so in our culture today, in our society, we live in a society that is so absorbed with the approval of others. I mean, think about it. What do when we want approval? We post something, right? We go to Facebook, we go to Instagram, maybe we'll make a TikTok if that's your thing, and you're looking at How many likes do you have? How many views do you have? How many comments do you have? And you're so consumed with what everybody thinks and wanting that attention that all you're craving is the approval of others, right? And this is not something that is just for students. This is something that's for everybody, right? I'm sure everybody in here has a Facebook. I know most of y'all do because we're friends on Facebook. But here's the deal. We learned this weekend, man, we have to die to the approval of others because ultimately we're not seeking their approval. We're not doing things for other people to approve of us. What we should be focusing on is the approval from God the Father. It is something, approval is something that we crave naturally. It's part of God's design. In Genesis 1:28, it says this, God blessed them. And so we looked at that and you say, how does that tie to approval? Nick said this, he talked about the importance of this statement is not a materialistic blessing of here's fame, here's fortune, here's everything that you need. But what this blessing really is more so like for us today is when a future spouse goes to the dad and says, can I have your daughter's hand in marriage? You're asking for the approval of the family before you get down on a knee. And so what Nick said to us is that in Genesis 1:28, right after God made man and woman, he approved of them and he blessed them. So from the beginning, we see that there's a natural need and a natural desire for approval. But the question is, whose approval are you seeking? Are you seeking the approval of God or are you seeking the approval of man? Jeremiah 2:13 talks about the idea of broken cisterns, broken water vases. And what it is in this context, the cisterns cannot hold the water that's being poured into them because they're broken. And the way that Nick tied this all together for us is we're broken just like the vessels are broken. And so if we're constantly pouring in other people's approval, but that's what's supposed to mend us and hold us together, it's useless because it's running right through us. And so for us, we need to be whole and complete in Christ and seek his approval so that he can fill us and so that we can live out our calling based on his approval. And so that's what Nick was telling us. And when we speak of the approval of others, we also have to wonder, where are we seeking the approval, right? We will never be satisfied with other people's approval of us. It's just not going to happen. In Matthew 3, we see where Jesus is approved by the Father. Matthew 3, 13 through 17 says this, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Why do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up to the water. And at that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove. And the voice from heaven said, this is my son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. So what we observe in this moment is Jesus being fully God and being fully man was baptized, and God the Father appeared and said, I approve of him. Now, I don't know your home life. I don't know how your relationship is with your dad, but mine and my dad's relationship is special. We have a great relationship, and I'm thankful for him. And what I see looking at this passage is the word of God meant a lot to Jesus as the son. My dad's words mean a lot to me, right? And so for you today, Jesus's words, God's words, should mean something to you. Let that just sink in for a moment. When God sees you, he sees Jesus. And so when he sees you in Christ, he says, this is my son, this is my daughter, with whom I am well pleased. And so for us, that should be an encouragement, right? And I want us to also point out the fact that this is in Matthew 3. So leading up to this moment, Jesus had done nothing to win the approval of God, right? All he had been, all that had happened in his life was that he had been born, he had lived a little bit, and then he went and got baptized. And so Jesus had not even began his earthly ministry, and God still says, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." We don't have to do anything to seek the approval of God except accept him as our Lord and Savior. Yes, we mess up. Yes, we go astray. That's part of life. That's our flesh within us, right? That's why we're learning to deny our flesh. But here's the deal. God the Father loves you, and he wants you to seek his approval above anyone else's approval. Eric Reed, as he was introducing the conference, talked about how created things operate best when they operate according to the Creator's design. And so for us, we can see the created design in Genesis. Going back to Matthew 16:24, it says this, "Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." So this is how we need to live our lives and get back to God's design, is by doing this formula that is laid out for us very clearly in Scripture. Eric Reed also said this before closing, "If you live for the approval of others, you will die by their rejection." Number two, dying to your attempts to save yourself. Eric Reed led this session, and we see in the creation account when God created Adam and Eve that everything was perfect. Perfect communion with God and with man. They were walking in the garden. They could hang out. They could eat some good food. They could go fishing. They could do whatever they wanted to do. But what happened? Sin entered the world. We see this in Genesis 3, 6 through 7. "When the woman saw that the fruit of the trees was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. She also gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together, and they made coverings for themselves." We know that the serpent enticed Eve, and ultimately she gave in. Once their eyes were open and they realized what they had done, they were vulnerable. And so in order to hide from God, because they heard him coming in the garden, they sewed their fig leaves together and they hid. What are your fig leaves this morning? What are you hiding behind? What is keeping you from being vulnerable? In our culture today, let's just be honest, it's a self-numbing culture. Right, we live in a culture where every attempt to drown out the pain that we can make and save ourselves is drinking the pain away, popping another pill, putting too much time and effort into work and ultimately burning out, or even social media, scrolling it, just doom scrolling, right? We begin to create these escapes, and what we think is saving ourselves is really just killing us. And so Eric Reed began and said this, "Denying Jesus is like giving up a perfect steak dinner and choosing to eat a hot dog. This is dumb. This is stupid. But how often do we choose the lesser? How often do we choose to go to one of those escapes? How often do we choose to turn to things that we know are just leading us away from Jesus instead of just running to Jesus?" Here's the bad news this morning. No matter how hard you try, you cannot save yourself. It's not going to happen. But here's the good news. Jesus did not come just to die, but he came to live for us. If he only needed to die for us, then he could have been born and he could have died right there in the manger. He could have died early on in life. But what Jesus did is he came to live, model, and fulfill the law in our place. That's why he had to live the 33 years. He's a living example of what we were to be and how he credited this to us by dying on the cross. So he fulfilled everything that we cannot fulfill. And so when we accept Jesus, again, God sees Jesus on our behalf. We're complete in Him if He's our Lord and Savior. We live in a world that throws a lot of things at us, and Paul in Romans 12, 1 and 2 gives us a way of combating the attempts of the enemy. It says this, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." So what Paul is saying here is, don't try to save yourself, but embrace what God has already done for you and live it out. Live out in a dark world. How do we do that? We do not conform to the patterns of the world. We go against the grain. We stand out. We begin to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We realize there's nothing that we can do to save ourselves. Jesus has already saved us. All we have to do is accept it. And then we can begin to seek God's will for us. We can begin to figure out ways to serve others and love others and share the gospel using the gifts that God has given us. So we need to die to the opinions of others. We need to die to trying to save ourselves. And lastly, we need to die to the impulse to be our own God. Larry Davis led out in this session, and it was phenomenal. We can have and we can experience everything that this world has to offer. But in the end, if you do not have a personal relationship with God, it doesn't mean anything. It's totally meaningless. Larry Davis said this, "You have to sit in God's lap and slap Him in the face in order to reject Him. You must acknowledge that He is real." We were talking earlier, and that's something that stood out within our students, because it's real. There's a lot of people that tell you God's not real, but in order to say that, you have to acknowledge that there is a God. And so, just an awesome statement for us to sit on, but think about this for a minute. Let's say, I'm a visual person, so let's say that your life is a chair, and you've got two things in your hands. You've got a cross, and you've got a stick figure. Obviously, the cross is Jesus, and obviously, you're the stick figure. And so, there's a couple of different ways you can play this out, right? If you have a chair, you can put the stick figure on the throne and put the cross behind the chair. And that will symbolize, I'm on the throne, God's behind me, I'm good. Or you can put the stick figure on the chair, and you can put the cross at the foot of the chair. And this represents, man, I'm on my throne, and God's beneath me. Or you can do it the correct way and put God on the throne and put you at the base of the throne. Right, let's just be honest. In our world today, a lot of people go with option number two, where they're on the throne and God is at the foot of the throne. But Larry Davis says this, "Our place is not to overthrow the throne, but to surrender to the throne." So that's why we need to live in chair number three. We see this throughout Scripture where people want to be God and try to become God. Genesis 3, we see that after they have eaten, the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us. Knowing good and evil, he must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So Adam and Eve ate of this fruit and they became like God. But out of love, God had to remove them from the garden. Ezekiel 28:17, we see where Satan falls. It says this, "Your heart became proud on your account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth, and I made a spectacle of you before kings." I'm sure in our Saints and Sinners series, we'll talk about David in 2 Samuel 11, where he messes up and takes Bathsheba as his wife. But here's the deal, David's still remembered as a man after God's own heart. These other two times we see that we put ourselves on the throne and ultimately there's a consequence. David didn't avoid the consequences, but he changed later in his life who was on the throne of his life. So for us today, we have that opportunity as well to put God back on the throne. I'm going to be honest, man. I know that I get this out of order sometimes and it's hard. And it's convicting because I have to die to myself and put God back where he's supposed to be. And so for us, that's how it's supposed to be as well. Larry Davis taught us these three quick things. And this is how you keep God on the throne. You seek power, prestige, and pleasure from and in God himself. You want to keep God on the throne of your life? Seek him. Find these things in him. Power, prestige, pleasure. God never said that dying to ourselves would be easy, but guys, it's worth it. In closing, Pastor Howe mentioned it a minute ago, but I did lose my grandmother this week, and it was hard. But Sunday night, as me and my dad were sitting out back talking, he said this, and he doesn't normally use this, but he said this. He said, "Son, I don't know why she held on for so long, but whatever it is, she was teaching somebody something, and I hope that they got it." Church family, I want to share with you what I learned from the death of my grandmother. Death is a process, and it's not easy. But dying to ourselves, denying our flesh, and taking up Jesus' cross and living out our calling, that's a process. It was never meant to be easy. It was never told to us that it was going to be easy, especially in a world that is against us. But we know that Scripture says it's worth it. Right? This is the interesting thing. My grandmother passed away, and we know she's in heaven. That's why I can stand up here today and tell you this. She died and left the earth. What we learned this week is we're learning how to die to remain on the earth. And that's something that is so powerful. My grandmother's in heaven. For us as believers today, this is as close to hell as we'll ever be. For those who are not believers, this is as close to heaven as you're ever going to be. Final thoughts before I close. Larry Davis said this, "We would make terrible gods." I know I would. We believe that we can make our own way, but we can't. We don't have to because Jesus has already made the way. So today, you may need to put your faith in Jesus. You may need to hear these things and talk to somebody. We'll have our staff down front. But I'm going to invite the band back up. I'm going to pray, and then we'll respond. But here's the deal. Don't miss this moment. Deny yourselves and lean into what God has for you in this moment. Trust him. Put your faith in him. It's worth it. Let's pray. God, we love you. God, we thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. God, I just thank you for this weekend. God, for everybody involved, for the students, family, and God, just everybody that was a part of the weekend. It was so special, so meaningful. And God, I just pray that we'll take these truths with us. God, that we will learn what it looks like to deny ourselves to live for you. God, help us. Help us in the days ahead. And God, we love you. We thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.